The Rosie on the House Arizona Hour, driven by Sanderson Ford.
They call it brisket, not Prescott. It never gets too cold and never gets too hot. It's got the trappings of a city, but feels more like a town. And everywhere you look, oh, there's mountains all around. Oh,
are you doing that live, Gary?
Yeah, Prescott, don't you just love that sound?
That sounds good. And we are broadcasting.
Those guitar lessons come in handy.
Yeah, sounds very good. We are broadcasting Rosie on the House this morning from Prescott, Arizona, from the offices of Tom Riley's remodeling company, Renovations, Rosie Certified. And we're here with sweet Jennifer and Romy and myself, Rosie, and just having an absolutely fabulous few days in Prescott with the Arizona Preservation Historic Preservation Symposium.
It's taken me all week to get that right.
I know, it's a lot of words.
The Arizona Historic Preservation Conference.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not as hard as we're making it, that's for sure. Hey, well, we're covering Lake Havasu, and you had a trivia question.
What do you think, true or false? Does Havasu come from the Havasupai Indians? True or false?
Yeah, I wanted to vote true on that.
Now, the word itself means blue-green water.
Okay.
Describing the water that flows through the Colorado River. But this was a hard one. That's false.
Okay.
It's a Mojave Indian word.
Oh. Blue-green water of the Mojave language is Havasu. Okay. I'll buy it. So I wonder which Mojave had the idea of bringing the London Bridge over here.
Can you imagine pitching that idea? You want me to invest in what?
Yeah, I don't know.
You're going to spend how much to do what? Huh? What?
Well,
so if you texted false, watch your phone. We're going to pick a random right winner once we filter through the numbers and find one that hasn't won in the last 12 months, and we'll send you two free tickets to Arizona State Parks.
Miss Jennifer, what did you get out of the Preservation Conference?
A lot. You know, I love Prescott. We've been coming up here since Rose and I were dating. Just one of our first out-of-the-city dates was coming up here, and we just love this area. But I realized this week how much I take for granted what you find when you come here. You know, you come, there's all kinds of festivals and crafts and music and balloons.
Thursday night, there was some concert downtown.
Yeah, with just people sitting around listening in the courthouse square. But would you really want to come if it wasn't for the setting? You know, the setting of the little historic town is so inviting, so walkable, beautiful. Every season is really nice. So I just realized that there's been a lot of work that has gone into this, and a lot of credit was given this week in honor to Elizabeth Ruffner, who passed away this spring at the age of 99. And she came here at 20 years old in 1940. And she was very instrumental in getting things preserved. Her first kind of the bug that bit her was with the Carnegie Library, and she had it made sure that it was registered with the National Historic Registry, and then just from there just went on. She's very, very community minded and active. So I just wanted to kind of give a kudos to her and all that she set in motion, and then just all the people who came to the conference. You know, we had people from attendees from Florence and a lot of the tribal communities from Vail, from Tucson, from Clarkdale, Cottonwood, even Glendale, you know, and the councilman from Glendale, Arizona, was actually fifth generation Glendale. He called it a Glendalian.
Wow.
So not only Arizona, but yeah, to the town of Glendale.
So, you know, Arizona has kind of some specific tribulations in getting these historic buildings maintained and restored because we don't have a lot of people who are generational. So when those people who really have a stake in the community get active, that's when things start to happen. But it's not an easy thing, and it's not a cheap thing. So that was kind of the emphasis of this week, is how do you make it happen?
And our open home hour will cover a little bit more about some advice given by a developer on what to do to help make sure buildings get preserved and not demolished and rebuilt with some new modern structure. And there's nothing new. I mean, if the building just physically can't, it won't always make sense to preserve every single building. But it should at least, every building is deserves, you know, an evaluation before it's just
plowed under.
Plowed under.
And then there was just a lot of classes too, just on historic events of Arizona. And well, you did something on sheep. What class did you go to?
It was about the sheep industry in Arizona. It was huge. At one point, there was the sheep to cow ratio was 10 sheep to every one cow. There's over 500,000 sheep in the state of Arizona. A lot of that was in the northern part of Arizona. And if you've ever been out in the woods around Williams, up on the Kaibab, and you've seen what's called a lunette hearth, which I don't think is a great name because it's that name, the lunar, you know, insinuates a round, you know, crescent shape. It was more like a rectangle, and you've got the two long ends and one short end, so it's like a big U. And it's these rock structures that are just randomly out, and if you stumble upon those, that is the remains of an old sheep herder's campsite. And what those lunette hearths were used for was cooking. A big part of their food was prepared in Dutch ovens. And at the time, a lot of Dutch oven cooking, you know, today you get a Dutch oven book and it tells you how many barbecue charcoals, you know, you put six underneath and five on top, and you know, you each one is representative of this degrees and how to get it in, and you do charcoal on and around it. But back then, a lot of times they would just bury it. Well, it's so rocky, they didn't have the time to sit there and and dig these big pits for their Dutch ovens. So they just stacked rock, and that helped keep the embers from spreading, which obviously for fire was a big concern. And it held the heat in, and it contained their Dutch ovens for their cooking.
Have you ever seen one just stumbled across one?
I haven't, but I have. When we camped in Williams, it's probably 3 or 4 summers ago, there we did stumble across a big field, thousands of sheep just out there eating, and you could see a couple spots there was dogs at different areas, and you could see a car over here and somebody walking over there just kind of maintaining the herd, letting them graze. But what killed the sheep industry?
Cattle?
No.
Wolves. It's not a political show, never mind.
The big byproduct of sheep was not meat. It was their wool. And after World War II, when the sheep industry's biggest client, the U.S. military, for their uniforms and blankets, when they switched over to nylon, they could never get those sheep to grow nylon. That was Rosie's joke from last night. I got to give credit where it's due.
I knew there was
couldn't
one.
Breed that. Couldn't get that DNA working.
So that pretty much evaporated. There are two families left that still herd sheep in Arizona, and they still walk them from about, what's the name of that farm coming up I-17 near Duncan? It's on the left-hand side. You used to talk about it a lot. When you pass, you go past Cordis Junction turnoff, but before you get to the Cherry Road, it's on the left, and you've got that Duncan. Anyway, from about right there all the way up to the north plateau, they still herd them by foot, walking them up and down. And there's a blog. We'll post the blog. I didn't have it in front of me. It's in my
pile
of notes here that you can go on. And they've got videos posted of the kids and friends and the dogs and moving them up the across the river. And you know why they built sheep's bridges? Because sheep are very hard to herd across water. So that's why they built sheep's bridge across the Verde.
Wet wool is not fun either.
Yeah, right.
And you can still see that. I don't know if you can still cross it. There was a time you could still walk across it.
I don't know
if it's still structurally sound, but if you're coming up I-17, you need a four-wheel drive in like 3 hours. But if you just turn eastbound on Bloody Basin Road and take it till it dead ends into the river, you can see Sheep's Bridge. And the first 8 to 10 miles is fine, but then when you've got that first drop-off, that's a little hairy.
That's a little hairy.
And you,
especially pulling a 3-horse horse trailer.
5. Well, it's a 4. We've put 5 in. And you, that's where Cave Creek dead ends into, you know, Cave Creek turns into a forest road and dead ends into a Bloody Basin road. Well, don't turn south. Keep going straight. You'll go under a big power line. And then the second set of switchbacks, if you thought the first one was hairy, you probably shouldn't do the second set of switchbacks down into the Verde River. But at the end of that, you can get to Sheep's Bridge, where they used to herd the sheep across the river.
I think that's Tangle Creek, isn't it? That you go down? It's where Tangle Creek
is.
It's the river.
The Red Creek's above it, and then Tangle. Yeah.
Some pretty good catfishing in that area.
Beautiful part of Arizona. You can, if you're a pilot, you can get there. They've got a landing strip there. It's a dirt landing strip, and I don't know what kind of plane, little prop plane, but if you had a little Cessna, you could fly back there. And there is a shack that a lot of people use for fishing overnight. It was one of the beautiful parts of Arizona.
One of those little remote little spots that you have to work to get to, but those are the kind of spots that sometimes are worth the most effort.
They are. And the way the Arizona Historic Preservation Conference was laid out, the headquarters was at the Hacienda Inn, which is right on Gurley Street. And then they've got conference rooms in the hotel, but they also use the Elks Lodge across the street
for an
overflow. They had two rooms upstairs and then the auditorium. And I tell you, what a cool building that is, and the restoration work that they've done on there. There's a lot of cool performances that they have at the Elks Theater. You know what else they have is they do movie showings. When it came out, Only the Brave, the story about the Prescott Mountain Hotshots, I cannot watch this. And I still haven't to this day, but the last two times it's come up, I'm like, all right, I'm ready to watch that. I want to see the full story. Well, the 18th, 19th, and 20th, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week at 7 o'clock, for a cash donation of any value, a dollar up to however much you want to donate, you can go watch it at 7 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
At the Elks. And Wednesday night, they're doing an additional fundraiser event. You can go to PrescottElksTheater.com for all the details, along with all the other shows, like Rockin' Live, which is a tribute to Sun Records, the recording company out of Memphis that first recorded Elvis, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis. They've got a tribute going on there. Then July 3rd, what's going on in July in Prescott?
Well, it's the rodeo, the July 4th.
July 3rd, what do you think they're showing that night at Prescott?
Are they?
Junior Bonner.
Oh, boy.
You beat me.
Yeah. That's one worth coming up for if you've not seen Junior Bonner. And it's fun to watch that and then step outside. When was that movie? The 70s?
70s, yeah.
And you walk outside and you're like,
it's still the same.
It's right here.
That scene happened right here.
And you can go over to the palace and see inside there where the big barroom scene is, and you go over to the rodeo grounds, and it's like, this is it.
Yep.
One of Steve McQueen's. I'm a pretty big Steve McQueen fan. I don't think there's many of his I haven't seen. And then the Johnny Cash Roadshow is July 13th, and the list goes on and on. That's PrescottElksTheater.com. And one of your favorites growing up, Susie Boggess, was there recently.
Oh, really? It's a wonderful setting, just beautiful.
I have not been in it since it remodeled, which was, what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
Something like that.
Yeah, I haven't been in it since it was remodeled.
All right, well, it's just a block from where we're sitting, and we're walking in there after this.
Just what they did to the facade made it look so much better. I mean, it was pretty tired when they decided to put some effort into it.
The Arizona Hour here at Rosie on the House. Coming back, we've got the mayor of Lake Havasu City on the line, Cal Sheehy.